I don't want to alarm you, but this is really going to wake you up if you're a little bit sleepy this morning. Listen to this.
Cody, give me back the broom.
I think that there's like an animal underneath the tire of your car or something like that. That sounds terrible.
That animal is my 2-year-old daughter, Dakota.
Oh, why is she so upset? And how much does she... Why do kids love brooms?
It's Hannah and Raven. So Dakota is going to be 2 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been going through the terrible 2 tantrums for what seems like an eternity at this point.
Okay.
I don't know how it can get any worse, but it has been. She screams all the time. She throws herself on the floor. She flails. She's inconsolable. Anytime you tell her that she can't do something, and it's not like we're saying to her, no, honey, you can't watch your favorite cartoon for the 100th time. Like,
right.
Okay, let's watch Moana again. Sure. No, we're telling her, like, not to take a lighter and light her hair on fire. These are the things we're telling her no.
What happens when she throws the tantrum? Do you give in? Do you immediately, you know, give her whatever you want? Because, as you know, I don't have young children. But I know that if I give my dog a treat when he does something bad, he'll do that over and over and over again.
I try to distract her. I try to hold her hand. I try to, like, show her something on TV. I tell her that Elmo doesn't like when you behave like that. None of these things seem to work.
She still focuses on the lighter in her hair.
Yep, exactly. Okay. She's like, no, give me the sharpest knife in the kitchen.
Perfect, so yep. I can run around.
I can't give in to that. Like, I've thought about it.
I would think.
But you can't.
Right.
You can't. No matter how much they scream, for how long they scream, to the point where you think you're going to have a breakdown.
So what happens next?
So over the weekend, I decided that I was going to check in with the experts to see what they said. So I Googled, what do I do when my 2-year-old is throwing herself on the floor screaming like a psychopath?
What'd you come up with?
Nothing. I was looking for things like give her soda that
right.
usually calms them down. Or like 3 M&Ms is the magic ingredient.
2 Benadryl won't kill them if they're over 40 pounds.
I mean something. Something tangible.
Right.
And I came up empty handed. So now all I do is go, it's okay. Mommy loves you. Mommy
it's
loves
fine.
You.
This
it's
is totally okay. fine here.
I know why you're feeling sad. Mommy understands.
You're Meanwhile, talking yourself through.
Oh, yeah. I'm just rocking back and forth. And
it's like you're shell-shocked.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, and my older daughter, Hayden, who's 11 now, she never had tantrums like this. She was a colic baby, so she had her own set of issues.
Sure.
But not like this. When she started getting to the age of 2, she started mellowing out, not the opposite.
What happens next then?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. 1-800-330-9999. If you have a toddler or you went through this with your toddler, the tantrums, what tricks did you have to calm them down? It's Anna and Raven. Sometimes we ask for advice. Other times we beg for it. This is one of those situations where I'm begging for it. 1-800-330-9999. How do you deal with toddler tantrums? My little one, Dakota, she's going to be 2 on Saturday, and she is just, she's the terrible 2s. We call her Dakota the Destroyer. Mm. She's just so mad. Like, the little, you know, like the little lines in the top of your eyebrows, right?
Right.
She's constantly furrowing them and screaming because she's so mad about something.
And I didn't know they gave babies those eyes.
They
those
did.
Lines.
They did. Yeah. She has resting baby face, and it's mad. So mad. And I just don't know how to deal with it when she's screaming and throwing herself on the floor. It's like, you know, I didn't have that problem the first time around with my older daughter. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. How do you deal with a toddler tantrum?
Well, there's this song called Rocket Ship Run, and whenever my son starts to freak out, I play it, and he gets very quiet.
Rocket Ship Run. Huh?
I know that one.
Right?
It's the Lori Berkner Band. I know that.
The,
yeah.
The Who Band?
It's the Lori Berkner Band.
I don't know.
The Lori Berkner Band.
I don't know who that
three,
is.
3, 2, 1, blast off. Another Rocket Ship Run. You don't know that song?
No, carry it for me.
Oh, let me go. I got to go get it. I got to go grab it.
3, 2, 1, blast off, another rocket ship run. Take me to the star.
This is where we get really mellow.
You start waving your arms in the air.
Right.
Look to
like,
the sky.
It's like the kumbaya moment in that. It starts all pumped, and then you're like, take me. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would work.
Sounds like a nightmare doing that all day long.
Well,
to me.
I think after about three times, you would hate that song very much.
That's what I'm saying.
Hi, it's Ann on Raven. How do you deal with toddler tantrums?
My wife, I've witnessed it 24/7 with my wife because she's a stay-at-home mom. So a brief example, yesterday when we were setting up our Christmas tree early, he starts throwing things all over the place, looking for the lighters, looking for the knives.
Yeah.
And my wife is exhausted like you, so what she tries to do is she does the M&Ms, the cookies.
Yeah.
Nothing works. And she's still trying to figure that out as we go, but we just try to pacify them with treats and candy.
Bribery.
There's no way around it. It's impossible. She can't figure it out.
The one thing that has worked sometimes for us is that they make these little popsicles. They're like Elsa and Anna frozen popsicles. They're like 15 calories each. They're mini popsicles. And sometimes if I look surprised and I go, popsicle? Like
right.
It just popped into my head.
Right.
She'll get calm for a second, and she'll be like, popsicle?
Right. She knows that you're kind of tricking her, but she goes along for the ride to get the popsicle.
But the problem is once she finishes the mini popsicle, back to the art, whatever she's mad about.
Right. She's like, oh, you thought I forgot.
Right. You think that they have the memory of a goldfish? Not true. They remember everything like elephants. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Good luck, man.
Good
luck. Those popsicles.
Thank you. I'm with you.
We love you guys. Good morning.
Thank you. Tell your wife I feel her pain. Trust me. Hi, it's Ian on Raven. How do you deal with a toddler tantrum?
We actually just lie on the floor next to him and start having a tantrum, too. And he thinks it's funny. He starts laughing with us.
I wonder if Dakota would also laugh or if she would get angry and take her fists and pound our faces.
Fly into a rage. It just goes next level completely. Oh, you think you're funny now. You're mocking me. Gets up, throws the coffee table through the window.
Right, like the Hulk.
Right.
So mad.
The rage takes over.
Right.
Right. You're lucky. You've got a kid that seems a little bit more ready to deal with the world out there.
I'm glad it works for you.
Anything that you can try, right?
What do you do to handle toddler tantrums? I could really use some advice. 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven. Warning. What you're about to hear may be sensitive to some listeners.
Give me back the broom.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you.
It escalates quickly. It really does.
It's like 0 to 100.
An angel when she's smiling, but.
Oh, my God. It's Anna and Raven. That's my toddler, Dakota. She'll be 2 on Saturday. And when I say that she's been in the full toddler tantrum phase for what seems like an eternity.
Right.
I don't even understand how we're not even 2 yet. And this is the way it is.
She's ramping it up, really.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
It's like become a leader of a force. I mean, imagine if she had a bunch of people running behind her that were doing that. Wow.
She throws herself on the floor. She flows like a fish. She screams her head off. So I'm asking you, for the love of God, help me. What do you do when your toddler is throwing a tantrum? 1-800-330-9999. Santa Raven. We asked on our Facebook page last night. Usually, Raven, we get so many comments,
sure.
Right? We have 3. Parents don't know what to do.
Yeah, and nobody wants to be that person that is held up to the light, right, to say, well, they said this.
So Millie says, come down to eye level, use calm facial expressions, and calmly ask her what's wrong. She's screaming, and I always get down with her.
Right.
But to be able to relax my face when that piercing scream is so loud.
So you don't look
ears.
Scary. You want to be the face of happiness in the face of fear.
What's
right.
wrong, baby girl?
Right.
What?
It's not a
totally
problem.
Calm right now.
Right, right.
What's wrong?
Right. Spittle on your face dripping down.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Right. Kristen says, for a while, my daughter loved the Pout Pout Fish book. And I would ask her, are you a Pout Pout Fish? And she would stop crying and laugh.
You better get that book, like, today.
I got to order on Amazon right
I mean,
now.
Like, yeah, if you don't have that book, like, I mean, just, I mean, take a shot in the dark. Why
right.
not?
I got to get the, I mean, 100%, we're going to get Pout Pout Fish.
Right. Third comment.
Yeah. Marilyn says, I give her my iPhone and play cartoons. I do that all the time. Listen,
I mean,
at least
Marilyn, that's giving up.
Oh, I give
but
up.
But thank you.
Oh, please. I've never agreed with somebody more. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do you do to calm a toddler tantrum?
So this is really interesting because my son is 9 and still has tantrums a lot because he's been diagnosed with a couple of things where tantrums part of it. But something that I've learned from his therapist is to just not engage the tantrum. So at 2, it's much harder to not engage and walk away. But what I wish we had learned, like, way back then was to sort of put him in an area, you know, whether it's a playpen where he can't get out of and he's safe, not necessarily the same timeout zone, but just an area where he knew that that behavior is not okay, and just to not engage because he's trying to get the reaction from us. And at times it used to work. And fighting each other just ignites the whole situation. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll try everything I can. And on Raven, what do you do to handle toddler tantrums?
Okay, I would try this. Ignore. Your husband, daughter, and yourself have to be on the same page how you deal with it. But I would ignore it. Leave the room. Don't feed into that. Because the more you try to pacify her, she's going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I've been told to do the same thing with my dogs and begging, Anna. Yeah. I know you hate it when I go dogs to kids, all right?
Right, because that doesn't make any sense.
But it's the only thing that I know for comparison. A padded cell is what I'm hearing through both of these calls, basically. A padded cell that is soundproof.
I don't know about that. Dr. Roy Lubit, he's a child psychiatrist, and he has some pointers. It's coming up in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven. My little one, Dakota, is going to be 2 on Saturday, and her toddler tantrums are out of control. What do I do to make them stop? It's Anna and Raven. Dr. Roy Lubit is a child and adolescent psychiatrist. Dr. Lubit, how do I make my 2-year-old stop throwing tantrums?
Where is the on-off switch?
It's very hard to make a 2-year-old do something or not do something. What are the things that tend to trigger tantrums?
Well, whenever I tell her no,
right.
That seems to be the problem.
Primarily when she denies her something.
Yeah, so if I say, like, no, you can't jump off the top of the couch, that's usually when she starts freaking out. And the way she throws her tantrum, she screams to the point where, like, she can barely breathe. And then she gingerly throws herself on the floor and flails like a fish.
Right.
The best thing to do with children is distract them. Parenting a boundland has been described in 3 categories. One is permissive, where you basically give in, which is not a good way to go. Another is authoritarian, which is you expect them to do what you tell them to do. That's also a bad way to go.
Hmm.
And the third is authoritative, which is you explain why they need to do A or B instead of C and D, but that you stick to your guns. It's important to remember, though, that people don't hear other people when the other person's angry. People will only process if they're being spoken to nicely.
I've told my husband that 100 times.
Yeah.
I told him so many times.
And you speak like an angel every time that you do it.
Well, I do find that if you yell, then she just yells louder, which is kind of not productive.
The front goes up, basically.
Yeah. Do you think that 2 years old is too young to understand? Because I like the idea of a positive timeout because there's something really sad about putting a child in a timeout and then leaving them by themselves. They don't understand why they're being left by themselves.
Kids understand often a lot more than we realize. I think at 2 years of age, you set a limit. You know, you can try to talk to them soothingly and let it burn out. You don't want to give in.
All right, but you're saying there is no magic thing that I can give her, like a Diet Coke.
Right, a layman walks in, has no idea, doesn't know this child, no past history, anything like that, just does some sort of sign over the child and they magically get quiet.
Yeah, there's nothing like that exists.
Child psychiatrists learn special techniques like that, but we can't tell the public otherwise we wouldn't be needed.
Okay, right. Good,
no,
yeah.
Makes
sense.
Right.
There is no magic wand to stop it. It's the main thing is don't let them hurt themselves, be available. And afterwards, you can talk to them about, you were really upset. Can you tell me, you know, what was bothering you? I remember about age 2, one of my daughters was tantruming, not on the floor, but was beside herself. And I just said, you're upset. And she said, I'm upset. And she calmed down. Putting words to feelings is magic.
Thank you so much. If you want to visit Dr. Roy Lubit online, you can just head to roylubit.com. Next, if you're doing this to your children whenever they're 5 minutes late for school, that is definitely all I need to know about you. Wait till you hear this crazy story.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 I can't stop giggling. There's something wrong with me. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You're going to see this all over the news today.
What happened?
If you throw your children over a 6-foot fence because they're late to school and you want them to go to school.
Wait a minute, what?
That's all I need to know about you. An elementary school in France had to post pictures everywhere because they have a hard rule. If the kids are not at school at 8:30, they close the fence, the gate, the 6-foot gate right?
Okay.
And what parents are starting to do, because they're so desperate and they're running late, is they're just tossing their kids over.
You're trying to get contraband into a prison. Until they come up with a drone that can lift your 9-year-old, that's where you're forced to be.
Oh, but the funny part is I read this, and I understand where the parents are coming from.
Of course. So, I can't watch this kid the next 6 hours. You're taking him.
Pick up at our school is hard, 2 o'clock.
Right.
Here's the thing. I do parent pickup. 1:59, that gate closes. And it's for their safety because the kids go to the cars and everything. It's the way they figured it out for COVID.
Of course.
But if you are 1 second late,
right,
you are stuck outside that gate.
And you're going to be out there forever.
Do you know how many times, I've rushed from work, I've rushed, and I get there, and it's 2 o'clock on the dot,
right,
and that gate is closed, and I know Hayden is going to be so mad at me, my older daughter.
And think about the worst job is the person closing the gate as people plead with them right at that last second. Right. This happened, that happened, whatever. You're trying to be so nice. And then when they say no, immediately the psycho comes out of you and you're like, you're going to burn in hell.
Right. So I just sat there, right, every time.
Yeah.
And then I screamed so she could hear me because I could see her looking at all the parents.
Right, right.
And being like, where's my mom?
Here.
I go, Hayden, I'm so sorry.
I still love you, right, but I'm not going to make it inside.
Oh, but school drop-off's the worst, because remember, there was that one semester last year where my husband brings the girls to school because
right,
he's home in the morning.
Because obviously you're not.
That report card had 10 tardies, and I lost my mind.
Right.
I go, 10 times you couldn't get her to school on time?
Right.
So they started racing like crazy, and then we had to have a conversation about we still have to drive safely
right,
to school.
Right, not right, driving like a crazy person.
Did we think, throw her over the gate.
Right.
Why do we think about it? We just take the leg and we just toss her right over.
I mean, maybe bring a step stool even to give yourself a boost to prepare for the inevitable, really, right?
I don't know. You throw your kid over the gate so they're not late for school. That's all I need to know about you.
Whatever it takes to get them in there.
Yep.
Yeah. And if the kid's game too, as a dad, you're just like, all right, fun time again.
Right.
Who cares if he goes in with muddy knees?
You got your sneakers?
Right.
All right, let's go.
If you send anonymous letters or make anonymous messages, that's all I need to know about you. So I'm reading just about this story here about somebody that's been sending threatening letters basically to a neighbor in the neighborhood, and now they believe that somebody might have actually tried to poison their dog or something. It's a terrible story. It's a terrible story. But just the fact that of people that leave anonymous letters, is there anything more cowardly than that, right?
No,
on the internet, at least we could track down your avatar, your face or whatever, and see this pattern of behavior that you've had before. When it's a letter that's in your mailbox or something like that, or sent to your other neighbors, it's so cowardly.
I always say, if you can't say it to my face, you shouldn't be putting it in an email or something
right,
like that. Yeah,
right.
No, you're right. It's all I need to know about you.
Terrible behavior.
Yeah. Next, one of the safe things we can still do this winter, ski. Chuck Devine from Snow Country, he'll have all the tips that you need to know, and especially what's going to be different this year on the slopes, coming up in 10 minutes with Ann on Raven. One of the safe things we can still do this winter is ski, but there's definitely going to be a few changes you should be aware of. It's Ann on Raven. Chuck Devine from Snow Country.
Chuck, I hear the pep in your voice there that tells me that winter is afoot, or it's on its way, or it's there. Now, I can't tell. That's why we call you.
Well, it's on its way, I'm just as happy to see that it's going to be 70 degrees today. Want to get those last few warm days, and even on a day like today up here in Vermont, when it does warm up, it's only for 4 hours, maybe from 11 till 3 in the afternoon. So taking advantage of those last gasps of warm air.
I think everybody's is excited for skiing because it feels like one of those things that are still safe with winter coming our way. How is everything up there in the planning for the winter season? Is everything all systems go?
All systems are go as far as ski areas are concerned. Whether we get snow or not, we're going to have skiing because ski areas just make so much snow. They're going to run the snow guns once those temperatures drop, and they'll get those same trails open that they will every year. In fact, ski areas want to spread things out a little bit, get ski areas in a lot of different locations, so they're going to try to be making snow in such a way that it goes out to their various lifts a lot quicker, so ski areas will have different opportunities to spread out around the mountain, and they're not all in one place.
Is it going to feel different? Do you have to reserve your spot? Because usually we just show up. We pay for our ticket, and we just get on the lift. Is it different this year?
It's definitely different this year. I mean, there are going to be opportunities midweek where you can show up, but for the most part, you want to make a reservation. And the one thing we have at Snow Country and snowcountry.com, we have COVID pages for all the ski resorts. By going to the COVID page, they'll let you know if you need to make reservations for that day. And I think the other thing is there'll be a difference in what's going on in base lodges as well. That's going to be there just to take care of some of the very basic things. In the state of Vermont, for example, base lodges are going to be at 50% capacity or 75 people max. Base lodges are going to be used just to take care of the necessities, whether you need to go in to use the facilities, of course, pick up a lunch or some food, and a lot of that food is going to be made takeout. And I'm sure that, you know, a lot of the ski resorts are going to have food trucks or other types of takeout when you want to take care of your lunch. In lots of instances, if you want to stay warm while you're eating lunch, you'll want to operate out of your car to do that.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a change that I hadn't really considered, but glad to hear that the food trucks are going to be out there. That's perfect.
If I don't get my waffle with the chocolate on it, there's literally no reason for me to go.
I mean, yeah. Lodge Bloody Mary. We've got big issues.
Yeah, I think the waffle cabins are still going to be there, and they're still going to be quite popular. It's just that, you know, if you're waiting in line, you're going to want to wait in line 6 feet behind the other person. One thing about wearing a mask, masks are inherent to skiing. We all wear face masks once the temperature is below freezing, but in this case, you're going to want to have that face mask at all times, and there will be regulations at the chairlifts as well.
Chuck, what does this do for rentals? Do you think we should pick up skis and snowboards locally before we head up? Or
I think renting near your home can always be a good idea, and there's always rentals available at the ski resorts too. What it's going to come down to is a timing thing. You know, everything, just because of the way you line up, you're going to have to wait longer. People are not going to be admitted with crowds as big as they once were. In that instance, once again, you may end out waiting outdoors for that. You can go to snowcountry.com and you can find out every area what their protocols are going to be when you want to make your visit to the slopes. Everything from purchasing tickets to renting to food and how you go about your ski day.
Chuck Devine, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll see you on the slopes.
Thank you.
In 10 minutes. You do this 6,000 times in your life. The question is, who do you do it to? It's coming up in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven. A new survey found that you ask for advice 6,000 times in your lifetime. 6,000 times you ask someone else for advice. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, that's twice a week.
It feels a little bit high.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on the individual. What do they constitute as advice, too?
Anything.
Like, if you're conversating with somebody, that's not really advice. If I go to my advisors, that's a little bit different, you know? I mean, because I've got people that I label as advisors.
So here's the thing, is that they say that you ask 31 people for advice. Like, your core, you ask 31 people. The number one person being your mom.
Okay.
Which I understand that. But 31 people, I started thinking about it. I'm like, who is the people that I ask for advice?
There's definitely not 31 people in my life that I consider to be smarter than myself.
Absolutely
it's definitely,
not.
If I'm being honest, right? Maybe 5 or 6 that I go, well, they have more experience in this area. And then there's individuals that you don't really know that you just go to because you're seeking out specific things. But on the regular, I don't know 31 people that I want to have a conversation with.
So here's my big question. Who's the number one person you go to for advice?
Well, I would say, you know, mom, of course, like you said on the list, is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I've got other friends that I consider to be very intelligent, but we don't agree on all things.
Yep.
So it depends on what I'm talking to them about. You know, there's probably 3 or 4 friends that I talk to for advice. My wife, of course, because you want to, you know, sound off on advice with your partner. That way they don't come crushing down on you if you did the wrong thing.
I think it also depends on the situation.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at work and you need advice about... Actually, I can think about a situation yesterday where I needed advice, and I went to our boss, which would make the most sense. Like, what would you do in this situation?
Sure.
And, like, I like when our boss gives us advice because he's very blunt, and you know I like things black and white.
So, and then you won't be in trouble.
Well, that's...
That's the other thing.
That's the thing. It's like, well, you told me to do this, and that's exactly what I did.
Right.
But at home, I was like, yeah, my mom, when it comes to things with the kids... And maybe, like, my best friend, I would say, like, what would you do?
And again, is that advice or is that just conversation?
We sent producer John around the office to ask people who they ask for advice and what was the last thing that they asked advice for.
Okay, who's the number one person you ask for advice?
I go to the smartest person I know.
Me. What's the last thing you ask them?
Do you really want to get up today?
You know, the thing is, knowing who that is, he's telling the truth.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Who's the number one person you go to for advice?
Totally, Mom.
What's the last thing you asked her?
I think how to cook a chicken.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a good one to ask.
I go to my dad a lot for cooking advice. My dad's a chef. So that's a lot of times I'll text and, you know, and then first they'll say, like, what are you, dumb?
Right.
You don't know by now?
You should know. I've seen, right. I've shown you this 1,000 times.
But then eventually he will tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, we go to Alexa for a lot of advice, I'm guessing, in the home now at this point. But half the time, Alexa doesn't know what we're talking about. It's true.
Who's the number one person you go to for advice?
Well, for shopping advice, I go to Pam.
What's the last thing you asked her?
Should I buy this really cute sweater or not?
Now, here's a typical guy. Producer John did not ask the immediate follow-up question. Did you buy the sweater? Can I see it?
Right.
Which is the first thing I thought is I was going to walk over to Dawn's desk and be like, can I see the sweater? Did you buy it? You know? I think going to girlfriends is good. One last one.
Who's the number one person you go to for advice?
My wife.
What's the last thing you asked her?
Is this clean?
That's not fair.
He's a young father, that guy. You know he's going to his wife. He's smart. Sign off with your spouse.
Coming up next, Raven is obsessed with a person that we don't know. It's a stranger. He's in our bathroom, and there's this one thing that he's not doing that's making Raven crazy, and we don't know how to address it. It's coming up in 10 minutes with Anna and Raven. Raven's obsessed with the guy in the bathroom.
I'm not really obsessed at all with this guy, but a lot of people are talking to me about it, and I kind of feel like sooner or later somebody's got to be a leader on this and maybe take some action.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, I guess so at this point. I don't really know what else to do. They're looking to me for answers, I think.
It's Ann on Raven. Go ahead.
COVID has created such a strange time this year, right? Where all of a sudden, like, we're like hyper-vigilant of other people's bathroom habits and what they're doing, washing their hands or whatever. Like, when I was in a bathroom before, I would definitely recognize if somebody didn't use the sink after using the facilities.
Uh-huh.
But at this point, you know, like, it's obviously turned so much more up. So in our building, we have these silly things. Maybe you've seen them in your building or whatever, too, where they're like self-cleaning buttons and pads and stickers that they put on all the doors and stuff like that. And I'm worried that the lifespan of these is going down the drain because there is an individual in our building right now, big corporate building, right? It's getting a lot of construction done. And I think this guy is part of like the engineering crew or whatever. And I'll see him in there and he always uses the bathroom and he never washes his hands after he uses the bathroom.
All right, now why is this your problem?
Well, because, of course, after that, he then walks out, places his hand on the stickers that are supposedly self-cleaning and all the door handles and so forth to get out. He doesn't even wrap them like in a tissue, like, you know, how some people are crazy now or whatever like that. He doesn't do any of that stuff. Here's the thing. He's a pre-bathroom washer. And I didn't know that this was a thing with guys until recently. Some of them wash before. Some of them wash after. Some do both, but he's clearly washing before and never after.
Clearly, I'm a woman, so I don't know what you're talking about. But the fact that you think that it's typical that guys wash their hands before they go to the bathroom after?
It's a one or the other. It's not typical. I'm not saying it's typical, but I'm saying it is a thing. There's a certain percentage of guys that do it. And now every other guy that's here in this building on this floor has started talking to me about this same guy. So I don't know how many times this guy goes to the bathroom during the day, because when I go in there, it's not like the same dozen guys are in there. But again, I feel like they're talking to me about it because they feel like I need to go say something to this guy.
So what exactly is your plan on what you should say to this guy about not washing his hands?
Well, I have really no idea. I mean, how do I tell the guy that you're destroying the stickers that are supposedly self-cleaning in this building and obviously all that's fake, but I still don't want you to do that? How do we do that?
A majority of people have never seen these self-cleaning stickers because I've never seen them anywhere outside of this building.
It just says it's a self-cleaning button.
Yeah. I'm relatively certain they do absolutely nothing and they bought them on Amazon and figured, all right, now nobody will question whether we're doing anything correctly. Anyway.
How do I tell him wash before and after?
Okay. Wrong advice only. 1-800-330-9999. What do you think Raven should say to this guy? But remember, only wrong advice. You can call right now or you can text too. It's Anna and Raven. Wrong advice only. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, why are you so upset?
I'm not really upset. I'm just saying, like, there's been something going on in the men's room here. So it's a big corporate building. The building's getting reworked. There's a guy from a different department or whatever that comes down and uses our bathroom now at this point. And I've had at least a dozen guys mention to me before that this guy doesn't wash his hands after he uses the bathroom. I've been witness to it. I've also been witness to the fact that he washes his hands before he uses the bathroom, but not after.
So how should Raven handle the situation?
Right, because somebody's got to talk to him, I guess, and I've been elected.
It's got to be you.
It's got to be you, Raven. You got the biggest mouth. Go ahead and talk to the guy.
Wrong advice only. Here's what I've come up with you should do. Okay. This works with my toddler, Dakota, who will be 2 on Saturday.
What's that?
Whenever we have to wash our hands, we just play this song in the background. Wash, washy, wash, washy, wash, wash. Rub your hands and fingers and the places in between. Using soap and water, make sure hands are clean. Wash your hands. Yeah. This is the Elmo song.
Is that who it is?
That's Elmo.
With Lil Wayne or somebody? Yeah, right? Who is he working with on that?
That's the Elmo remix, Wash Your Hands. You're going to need a boombox to go into the bathroom
right,
with you.
Right, perfect.
You're going to put it right on your shoulder, and you're going to blast that.
I'd be afraid to set it down anywhere. It's going to end up dirty.
Because nothing says a grown man like blasting Elmo on your shoulder from a boombox.
Right, right.
Also, another option I always had was that, remember, there's hall monitors?
Sure.
Well, now you're going to be the bathroom monitor. I'll make you a sash that says, hand washing, please. And you can go there, and as people go in and out, you inspect their hands, and it just becomes part of your protocol and your job.
Yeah, now you put this terrible badge on me, like a scarlet letter, but again, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm becoming the elected official here because people have asked me to do something about this. If I'm going to be the hero, you know, I want to be recognized as such.
Wrong advice only. How should Raven handle it? On our Facebook page, Ben says you should lick his fingers.
Oh, bad idea. Bad idea, Ben.
Stacy says you should ask for a back rub.
Sounds like a staph infection.
Dez says you could remake the famous Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore pottery scene from Ghost and wash his hands for him.
It's a sexy scene, but I'm not interested.
Kevin says challenge him to a game of rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Wait a minute. What? Rock, yeah. Paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the last one.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What should Raven do? Wrong advice only.
Oh, tell him, though, definitely to shake his hand.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No, that's disgusting.
That's wrong advice only. Shake his hand.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. Thank you, but no thank you. Right. Yeah, Anna and Raven, what should I say to this guy who's not washing his hands after using the bathroom? Wrong advice only.
You know what I would do? When he's around, start sneezing into your hands and touching everything like the handle and make it real noticeable so it kind of forces him to wash his hands.
Yeah, maybe I should sneeze into my hand and then touch the handle on his urinal as he uses it. That
maybe
would be very noticeable.
You should sneeze in your hand and then you should cradle his face as if he were a baby or a lover that you were going in for the kiss.
What?
Yeah, like just cup his face with your dirty hands.
This is terrible.
And on Raven, wrong advice only. What should he do?
Raven, you should say, hey, it's COVID-19. You can pre-wash at home, but you gotta wash your hands after you use the bathroom. As a matter of fact, how about you pre-wash too and wash your hands afterwards?
Did you say open up by calling him? Is that what you said? All right. Thanks for the call.
I don't think that's the right way to go about it. That seems like bad advice. So which one of those things are you going to do?
Definitely not that one because I feel like security will escort me out of the building. That sounds confrontational.
Coming up next, Couples Court. Justin has a fantastic idea for their Christmas cards, and Laura is about to lose her mind. What is it, and would you do it with yours? You'll be the judge with Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Laura and Justin. Laura, what's happening?
Justin wants to take our Christmas photos in just the worst way, and I think we should be staying positive this year, right? Because of all the craziness that's been going on, but he wants Christmas cards of us holding up a sign with the kids saying, 2020 sucks, here's our COVID Christmas card.
Justin, is that true? That's your plan?
Yeah. Why not? It's funny. It's, you know, it's nice, comical. I think it's all right.
Yeah. Timely. Anyways, that time of the year, right? Everybody's thinking to next year, thinking about putting it in their rearview mirror, I guess.
Can't you do something a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, like maybe masks or, I don't know, something more unique than just have your children holding up a sign that says 2020 sucks?
Yeah, that's another idea. I mean, I like to have all face masks of everyone saying 2020 sucks. Mm. And, you know, or a happy face and a sad face, like laugh now, cry later. Later, going into the next year.
You crack yourself up. Laura, you don't want to give him a little...
It's just a lot of ideas. I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, Laura, you don't want to do this? You want to stick traditional, everybody happy on this card, even though this year has been anything but traditional?
Get the sweaters out.
Yeah, because I think it's just like, you know, I don't want to tell my kids like, yeah, this really has just been awful. We like, I feel like we are parents that need to keep our chins up high and be that for our kids that, you know, everything is going to be okay, you know? Like, I don't think, like, having a whole Christmas card going out to all of our friends and family saying that is just a good idea. It's just kind of, I don't know, gross, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You want to spread joy, not negativity. On the other hand, your kids someday will be telling their kids, yeah, I remember that year. It sucked. It was terrible.
Oh, can't you do, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I have a front and a back to my Christmas card this year. My front is very COVID related, trying to get the laugh. And the other side is just kind of normal. You
in the manger?
No, that was, 2 years ago I did that picture? That's when Dakota was born and I had her as baby Jesus.
I mean, what else were you going to do?
I mean, duh.
Right.
You wouldn't be into something like that?
No, absolutely not.
Some people want to push through with tradition. They feel like this is the time that family's closer than ever, Anna Zapp. Other people want to say, if I don't laugh, I'm going to scream.
Who said are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Should you put any humor reflecting 2020 in your Christmas cards? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Justin and Laura are getting ready to take their Christmas photos, and Justin's got the greatest idea in the world. They're going to hold up a sign, them and the children, that say COVID 2020 sucks.
Laura does not see the humor in that whatsoever. She thinks that more than ever this year, they should send a positive message. Everybody get dressed up like normal and keep it traditional for their Christmas card.
It's a tough call because I like the funny Christmas cards. I certainly like creativity. But to me, that seems a little bit, I don't know, really negative. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the mom's side. I'm on that side because this might not be the worst year for some people. You know, you're sending this out to your family members, and they may have gone through worse things in different years. That's how I feel about my family. So this year is just another year, and you got to keep it positive and just know that, you know, keep moving forward, and let's hope that things get better. It's not going to be forever.
It's a really good point. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
I think I'm on the husband's side. I actually think they can have a compromise because I think kids need to acknowledge that it is a weird year. And I think that when we play happy families and don't acknowledge it, then I think a lot of times kids feel like their feelings aren't valid.
Right,
so
well, you're hiding
it.
My thought is like, there's no denying that this year happened. Years down the road, it's going to be here. Do I believe things are going to be back to normal? I do. At some point. But I think not acknowledging the fact that this year isn't, it's not really a problem.
I think what it does is it really, what she said, the first caller made so much sense to me because when I think back on this year, the most terrible things happened and some of the greatest things happened. And I think that, does that really belong on a Christmas card? I don't know. At the end of the day, I still have no idea.
It's all about how you're reading it, I guess. I get a Christmas card. I don't depend on a Christmas card to bring me hope. I mean, I'd rather have a giggle, but that's me.
It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, good morning. I have to go with no sign. I'm not a fan of it. I think it needs to be positive and make the most of this year. I'm not even a fan of those ornaments with masks, but that's just me.
Oh, there's ornaments with masks? I didn't see those.
Because that sounds dope, and I need one.
Right.
Thanks
Thank
for the call.
You.
Have a good morning.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Laura, our audience agreed with you. It's tacky, it's cheesy, and a majority of our audience said not to do it. Just do your traditional card. Add some humor if you'd like, but doing things that are vulgar and reflecting how awful 2020 has been is probably not the holiday cheer people are looking for when they're opening up their Christmas cards.
Right? Thank you. thank you. Justin, do you hear that?
Yeah, I'm still not agreeing with that, but whatever.
There's other ways to work in the humor. Matching denim outfits, flock of seagulls haircuts, all sorts of different options.
Sure.
Honestly, the face mask idea is a great idea. That's humorous, okay. But still like, yeah.
And I'm sure everybody will do that too. That'll be played out. You got to hurry up and get your Christmas cards out first so you're the first ones to do it. You should have sent your Christmas cards out last week.
She comes up with an idea and you smash it. Terrible.
If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
$3,600.
Yeah, it's a lot of money and I am so desperate to give it away. If you know your pop culture trivia, you really know your stuff and you think you can be the one to win this cash, can't beat Raven, we'll have your chance coming up in just a few minutes with Anna and Raven.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Teresa.
Teresa, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck.
All right, Teresa, we have $3,600 on the line right now for you. All you have to do is answer these five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll invite Raven back into the studio, ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, Broadway will get a small revival as cast members will perform at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, despite the fact that there's no actual parade goers lining the streets. Famously, the parade's last stretch is in front of Macy's on what street?
34th Street.
Number two, Britney Spears lost her bid to remove her father from her conservatorship and says that she will not resume her career if he's still in charge. Rolling Stone stated this year that her debut single was the greatest of all time. What was that song?
Baby One More Time.
Number three, Eric Church won Entertainer of the Year at last night's Country Music Awards. The song The Bones won Single of the Year and Song of the Year. Who sings it?
I don't know.
Number four, Hugh Grant revealed he had COVID, too, and his major symptom, excessive sweating, and he felt like his eyeballs were too big. What 1999 romance movie did he star in alongside Julia Roberts? Time's up. And number five, 1 in 10 parents say they read bedtime stories to their children until they were older than 13 years old. Matilda and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory are two of the most read children's books of all time. Who wrote them?
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, Teresa. Let me bring Raven back in. Okay.
Yo.
Teresa, I got 2 out of 5.
Not too good.
Number one, Broadway is going to get a small revival as cast members will perform at Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, despite the fact that there's no parade goers lining the streets.
Yeah, that's exciting, though.
Famously, yeah, totally. The parade last stretch is in front of Macy's on what street?
Is it Macy's on 34th?
That's right. Miracle on 34th.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Britney Spears lost her bid to remove her father from her conservatorship and says that she will not resume her career if he's still in charge.
Good for her.
Rolling Stone stated this year that her debut single was the greatest of all time. What song was that?
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
That's wrong. The right name is Baby One More Time. It's no Hit Me. It's just Baby One More Time. Number three, Eric really? Church won Entertainer of the Year at last night's Country Music Awards. The song The Bones won Single of the Year and Song of the Year. Who sings that song?
Maren Morris.
That is correct. She also won Female Vocalist of the Year.
I'm still seething over your response to my last answer.
I know, so. But you gotta try.
Okay.
It's Baby One More Time is the name of the song.
Mm.
Number four, Hugh Grant revealed that he had COVID too and his major symptom was excessive sweating. And felt his eyeballs were too big. What 1999 romance movie did he star in alongside Julia Roberts?
It's Notting Hill, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And number five, 1 in 10 parents say that they still read bedtime stories to their children over the age of 13.
Okay.
Matilda and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory are two of the most read children's books of all time. Who wrote them?
I have no idea.
Raul.
All right,
I'm sorry, Teresa. I tried my absolute best. He took you down 3-2 this morning.
It's Teresa and I can't beat Raven.
Well, hold on, Teresa. We'll hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt. Thanks for trying.
Sweet shirt, newly redesigned. Better luck next time.
We're going to throw another $100 in the pot. I'm trying my best, guys. I really am. $3,700 tomorrow morning. I'll give you the cheat sheet, the first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions. First one's at noon, second's at 5:30. It's the best I can do. I'm trying my best. You only got 3 out of 5.
I mean, that felt like a fake one on that one answer, too.